G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottlers proudly presents BBN Chalk Talk, a sports show with a distinct Kentucky flavor.
Welcome to BBN Chalk Talk, presented by G&J Pepsi-Cola Bottling. My name is Max Gobby. With me always is Matt Smith and Greg Lyle. It is the music poll day. We get to decide what we're going to listen to on Sunday.
And then I'm torn. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, I am also. We've got awards. Josh Allen's not done. Still not done.
Are they at this point just making up stuff? Are they just like, let's have the, let's call it, just give him another word. Get a hunk of metal, put a plaque, put it on a piece of wood, put Josh Allen's name on it, give him something else.
There you go. Take it. Women's basketball's got their game against the Catamount, which is.
There's more than one. They're Catamounts.
On the preview and our show topics, it says Catamount.
You are Ron Burgundy, aren't you?
He'll read anything.
I'm Ron Burgundy.
Thing.
Yeah. What a question. And then I'm gonna start putting question marks on our script. Just
to see women's basketball's playing the Catamounts.
The Catamounts. Then we've got early signing period because there's apparently no space between signing and period anymore. It's riddled with spelling errors.
Oh my!
We've got high school commits, and then the dad's photos. My gosh.
It's a phenomenon.
It's not a phenomenon. It's pathetic and sad. But anyway, we're going to talk JUCO commits. And then the food debate is ketchup. We're really grasping for straws on this one.
No, I researched ketchup. This, and it's a big debate. And if you look over to the side of the notes, do you put the ketchup on fries or on the side and dip them? That's the debate, not ketchup. Now,
why not just call it ketchup on the fries or on the side? Why?
In the little box.
Because he knew you were going to read it exactly like that and not look to the right.
Guys, how we doing?
I'm doing all right. I'm a little.
Have another beverage right now.
I'm a little worried about this show before we even get started. But I can't
Holy
wait.
Smokes.
Yep. So as far as the music thing goes, I don't even care. I'm not even going to pick anything because Greg just keeps winning, so it's not even going to matter.
Come on. I've had a good streak here, but I'm stumped right now. The pressure is on.
What and pressure I'm feeling do the you pressure. Have?
The pressure to keep winning.
Whatever pressure you're feeling, don't feel that.
I'm 2-0. I've got to maintain my streak. I don't want to pick wrong.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go ahead and do mine. Since I know I'm going to lose, I'm just going to start saying stuff I actually want to listen to. So I'm just going to go with System of a Down. Because I've got a feeling, because if it does win, that's going to give so much material for David. I'm really choosing it for David.
Is that what you're doing?
I'm picking it for David.
I'm gonna go back to the classic rock, but different band, to see if this helps. And I'm wearing their T-shirt, and we just came off a huge win last night, so I'm gonna just go with the Eagles, the band.
The band, the Eagles, nice.
Yeah, they got plenty of hits.
I see. I like both those too.
Yeah.
Don't throw in the towel and just concede this week. And
why don't you just put down Christmas music? Because it's probably going to win since it's the Christmas show.
No, it's too easy. It's too easy. Okay, I got it.
All right, what do you got?
Songs from the Top Gun soundtrack.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. I don't like these generalities that you keep pulling, though. Christmas music, 80s country.
Yeah.
You know, like, the Top Gun, thankfully, you got it down to, like, 20 songs. But everything else, you just got millions of songs.
No, I think that, to his defense, Matt, I believe there's only 12 songs on that track.
We'll see.
If I remember correctly. That was a big soundtrack in Jeff Gobby's life in my childhood. That was a big soundtrack in his life.
What Top Gun was?
I can see that being a big soundtrack.
Yeah. I was trying to decide earlier, and I wanted to go with the soundtrack theme, and I just couldn't think of the movie. And then while I was eating dinner, I saw a clip about the new Top Gun being made. So I was like, hey, that's the one we'll go with.
All right, it's 15 songs. I just looked it up.
Okay, so I was closer. So I win the music pool.
I didn't realize it was a competition to get.
Congratulations, Max. You win.
Thank you.
You said it. Your number was closer than my number.
Thank you. There's a lot of people I need to thank, but mainly me.
For being so smart.
For being just so dang smart all the time.
Oh, gosh.
Wow. And we also got another
Bradley Dale Pivato. It ain't easy being me.
I have no idea what you said.
It's our old special teams coach. He'd walk around and go, hey, it ain't easy. Like what I tell people all the time. Hey, it ain't easy being me. It's like, okay.
Okay. That's great, coach. Cool.
Okay, cool. Welcome.
Okay, cool. Okay. Oh, love it.
Before it's even a thing. Well, we got some bowl games to pick, too.
We do. You got some ground to make up, Greg.
Oh, yeah. So we got three games before our next episode. So let's go through them one by one. We'll get our picks. Right. I'll write them down here as we go along. But Tuesday, we have the Cherry Bundy Boca Raton Bowl. Mm. Guess, hey, shocker alert, that's in Boca Raton, Florida.
Oh. Is
it? Yes. Ah! Against the UAB Blazers and the Northern Illinois Salukis. Who you got, Smith?
I am going with the Blazers of UAB.
Okay. Mr. Gobby?
I'm going to go Blazers also.
All right. Maximilian. Wow. This one was a tough one for me. I've been doing some research because, like I said, I do have some games to make up here. UAB is giving up 2.5, but that's almost like, I am going to go opposite you all because I have to make up ground. So I'm going to be strategic here. All right. And I'm going NIU. I'm going to go the Salute.
Trying to use some strategery.
Yeah, week two. I've got a week two. I've already got to start. That's how bad.
Yeah, the great thing about all three of these games that we're picking is like these should be some high scoring games. All six of these teams are like averaging well over 300 yards on offense. UAB is actually averaging 400 yards of offense every game. There's going to be some offensive power here.
And the spreads were only like 2.5, 3 points.
It was 2.5 across the board. Yeah, which is crazy.
So it's kind of like, right there. All right, so then on Wednesday night, we have the DXL, a very fine place to shop if you're a big man. DXL Frisco Bowl. Well.
Yes.
And guess what? The Frisco Bowl is in Frisco, Texas.
What?
Crazy how they do this. Wow,
that is crazy.
So that night, we have the San Diego State Aztecs against the Ohio Bobcats. We faced Ohio in the last couple of years, haven't we?
We did. Yep. Yeah, we did. Little known fact, Ohio was actually my very first football scholarship offer. Never talked to them a day in my life. They just called me and said, hey, you want a scholarship? And I said, maybe. Thank you. I don't know who you are, but thanks. I'll consider it.
Yeah. We'll get to that in the whole early signing period talk. But yes, I think that's some of these – there's no way – I know some of these players, like the players from Cal. I know they have not been to all these schools.
Somebody
in the conference jumps on them. Somebody else just jumps on them.
Yeah.
Yep. They don't want to be left out.
Try to go after the regional kids.
Yeah. So who you got, Max? Let's switch up.
There you go.
I don't know because I've got emotional connections to both of these teams.
Really?
Yeah.
How so?
I've known guys that have played at both schools.
Huh.
So I.
Interesting.
So which people did you like better?
Ohio State is giving
up. You screwed me over more than once.
Ohio Bobcats are -3.
Hmm.
If that helps you at all.
Yeah, it does. Bobcats.
Hmm. Bobcats. The Bobo Cattos.
Yep.
O-H-I.
My loyalty goes wherever Vegas goes.
Is that right?
Yep.
Vegas.
Oh, man. I'm going to go with the Bobcats also.
And I'm shocked that y'all didn't pick y'all picking this because of the Conrad connection.
Nah.
And that where his brother plays? And that where CJ's brother plays?
It know. Is, but Bobcats are also a 3-point favorite in Vegas.
I am going with San Diego.
It's a 2-player swing.
I can't say what that means.
You could. You could do whatever you want on your last day, Matt.
Your last day. Oh, that's funny.
I cannot wait for this bowl game. This next one.
The Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl. What kind of swag do you get at that? I want to see the swag pack.
You everybody get gets a zero turn lawnmower. You don't have to buy a lawnmower when you first own a home. You get a zero turn 62 inch blade.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say there's a trucker hat somewhere in that. In that swag bag that you're getting. There's going to be a trucker 100%. Hat.
By any chance, do we get flat bills? Nah, you're going to get a trucker hat.
Snapback? No. Pre-folded bill. This flat brim stuff. So, the Bad Boy Mowers Gasparilla Bowl from Tampa, Florida, featuring the Marshals, Thundering Herd, and the USF Bulls. I guess it's my turn to go first.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going in strong with this one, and I'm going to pick the Bulls.
Ooh. All right. All right.
Matt?
Me? I am going with the Thundering Herd.
I'm going to go with my boy Charlie Strong. Bulls.
You didn't get my I'm going in strong with this? You of all people didn't get that?
Yeah. The only reason I'm not going them is because USF has lost their last 5 games.
So they're due.
Yeah.
Meh. I would say they're more on a streak. Yeah. But, you know, hey, we'll see. Greg, I think you and me picked opposites on every game.
Yes. So either you're going to be really far ahead of me or I'm going to be plus one.
Yes. Yes. Could be. This will be fun. I love this time of year.
And if you go plus 3 above me, my picks are going to get really interesting as the season goes on.
Shoot. That's
more holiday cheer.
So, Josh Allen, a lot of awards. I honestly do believe this, that we'll say 20 years from now. I say 20 years from now, Josh Allen will have an award named after him.
Yeah, he could. I mean,
I feel like if you win all of them, you should have one at that point.
If I'm Mitch Barnhart, he's paying for the wing I've got to build to hold all of his trophies because he's going to make a lot of money this spring.
Yes.
So, just you can design it, Josh. You can do whatever you want, but you're writing the check. Thanks. That would be the conversation if I was Mitch.
You're right. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want, but you're paying for it.
Yeah.
Because they're
it's
all
your money. You can do whatever you want with it.
So the great idea they had of all the little shadow boxes they have on all the pillars as you walk into the craft center there, where they've put like Art Still's Outland Trophy and his Hall of Fame plaque and that stuff. Now that they don't have enough poles right through there to put all the Josh Allen stuff up.
They're just going to have to put a whole new pole.
Do you think that he's going to do like, you know, like whenever you're in high school and you get all district and all region, you get a little football with a patch and you put on your letter jacket. Do you think he's going to do that with his UK letter jacket? How many little footballs would he have all over his jacket this year?
Enough.
Hey, look, this one's for this trophy. This is for this one. And look, oh, yeah, over here. Here's the Lott trophy.
Oh. Oh, sorry. I always forget about this one. Have you ever seen that commercial with Adam Vinatieri going through the metal detector?
No.
You know the kicker in the NFL?
Yeah.
I know who he is.
Yeah. So he's going through a metal detector. He's got his Colts uniform on. And all of a sudden, a metal detector goes off. And he goes, oh, sorry. It's probably this. And he puts one of the Super Bowl rings down. Walks through it again. Nice. Dink. Oh, sorry. And goes through after the fourth time. He goes, oh. And he has one on a necklace. And he goes, I always forget about that one. And goes through again. And then it goes off again. Because he's won 5 Super Bowls.
Yeah. It's because he's
talking. I do remember that commercial now that you're talking about it.
Yeah. Well, he just got some sort of award, just broke some sort of record, like all-time leading scorer, I think.
Oh, did he?
It's something like that.
Well, he's only been kicking for like 30 years.
I know.
I wonder how old he is now.
Yeah. 104.
I don't think so.
104.
Oh, gosh, I hope not.
Jeez.
Oh, I thought we were doing the competition thing.
He's somewhere between 30 and 104.
$1. $1, Bob.
I think he's
45. Wonderful. Adam Vinatieri is 45 years old.
What did I say, 104? I
had a 104.
I had a 4 in there.
Yeah, you were right.
And half of the other 10 is 5, so there's 45. So I was right.
There you go. I'll give you that.
Math.
Math. That's how you break it down. It's a new that's a new base 10 math from over in Asia.
What? What?
I don't know what you just said, but it sounded good.
It sounded good, but it sounded offensive also.
45, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I said 104, so I had the 4 right. So you put that up front. So out of 104, that leaves 10. 10. Half of that's 5. Put that at the back of the 4, 45. I win. Boom.
I can't argue.
Mathematics.
I can't prove you wrong, but something doesn't sound right.
Well, until I'm proven guilty, I'm right.
True.
Talk about catamount.
Catamounts.
Just talk about one of them. Catamount.
Just talk about one of them.
Okay, so let's pick one. So I'm going to go with Gabby Smith. I'm going to go with Gabby Smith.
All right.
A freshman that has scored, been their leading scorer 3 of the last 5 games and out-rebounded everybody 4 of the last 5 games. She's probably somebody we want to put a body on. This game should not be an issue for us.
No.
I'm waiting for the – I haven't seen any of the polls come out yet, but I haven't looked yet.
Right.
I would assume after our loss to Louisville, we moved up one after another solid performance against Middle Tennessee State, another Division I foe, that we're probably could take another bump up.
Yeah.
So, against this team, it really shouldn't be a problem. But then again, you don't – I hope the team – and I'm sure they won't. Coach Mitchell's going to have them prepare. They're not going to go in thinking, oh, wait, this is an easy game till we get to Moorhead. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, Murray State. On Friday, you got to go out and you still got to play. But this is a 2-7 team,
2-8, yeah,
2-8 team. One game was won in overtime against Upstate. Their last game out, they haven't played in the last 2 weeks, so they've been on their final break. So there's probably going to be a little rust there. Not only have you been on break for the last 2 weeks, but then you got to go on the road to face.
And they're 0-5 on the road.
Yeah,
so not great.
No, not great. Yeah. Not great. So,
yeah.
Should not be a problem. I really would like to see the girls come out and just be aggressive, play their ball, and just kind of like let this be a statement game for them. This is who we are. Don't care who's going to get on the court, whether it be Louisville or whether it be Western Carolina. This is how we play. This is our style of play. This is what we do. You better get ready for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think this is one of those – this is exactly what you just said. This is one of those trap games. Not necessarily. I don't think that this could be a trap game just because, you know, this team's not that great, Western Carolina, but they play into Kentucky's hands perfectly. This Western Carolina team averages 20 turnovers per game. Obviously, that's what the ladies for Kentucky have made their name on, is causing turnovers. They're only hitting – they're averaging six three-pointers out of 23 tries a game, which is not great, but apparently they just keep jacking them up regardless. So
yeah, they've got four girls, five girls that have shot over 20 three-pointers this year attempted.
Yeah,
they haven't seen a shot they don't like.
Yep, and their leading scorer on the season averages only 9 points a game. So, I, you know, not to beat a dead horse with this, but, yeah, this should be a game that should be easily handled, but you want to see Kentucky working on Kentucky in these sorts of games, just like, you know, most of the teams that are kind of like this in matchups. And, again, you know, there's a few games left here of, you know, they got four more home games in a row, that last of this five-game stretch being Vanderbilt. And Vanderbilt kicks off their SEC play. So they've really only got three more games before they get into conference play. So they need as much practice against opposition as possible. So this will be another good chance for them to work on them here on Tuesday night.
Yeah, and I think Coach will probably use this to get some minutes to some of the other girls too, to get some touches and some looks and stuff like that in the gym. So
yep,
it'll be interesting to see. I'm excited to see some of the combinations he might come up with because, you know, this is the game, you know, to come out and try some of those different rotations and see some of the different lineups once you know you have the game in hand, which with the style of play that these girls play, this could be over midway through the first quarter.
Yeah, could be.
Because the thing I don't like is that they do jack up so many threes a game, and if for some odd reason tomorrow night they're on, then it's, you know, it's a little bit different ball game at that point. So, but that's the Catamounts tomorrow, 7 p.m. Memorial Coliseum. We'll be there. Follow us on our Twitter feed, like always, for every game, where we will be giving you live in-game comments, analysis. I wonder if that girl from Middle Tennessee was sore after she face-planted getting off the bench.
Yeah, I'm sure she was.
I've told everybody about that story today. Anytime somebody stubs a toe, trips, or I hear a squeak of a shoe, I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, no.
Tell you about the time
she hit the floor so hard the sports information director at the end of the scores table jumped up and ran over.
Oh, jeez!
Like, it made that loud of a noise and commotion that he was like concerned of what's going on the bench.
Oh, jeez.
So good stuff. But that's our Western Carolina Catamount preview. WCU, they are purple and Las Vegas gold.
Yeah. Love it.
That's gold, I tell you. Signing period's upon us. Early signing period. Were you two around when there's early? This is only second year of early signing.
Yeah, it's only the second year. Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Nope.
Don't you have something else to say? You're going off script.
No, I'm not going off script.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
Good job. Good job, Max.
Starting the football talk.
No.
King of off script over here.
I know. So that means I know. That means if you're going to bash me every single time I do it, oh, my goodness, you know I'm going to.
He knows firsthand.
Stick to the line. Hard break. Advertising plug. Lyle. Get to it. Say the script, clown.
The best was Sunday whenever – we were sitting there, and at the break, went over everything. You and I got our notes for women's basketball out. He welcomes back in. It's like, so, men's basketball, how are we doing there? Like, what a minute. What happened? Wait,
yeah.
Don't change the fact that you missed the hard break advertising plug, Lyle.
No, actually, I was just trying to start a little football talk since the advertising plug that I want to do today is in regards to the
then ball. You should have put early signing period before advertising plug.
No, because
I'm just saying, if you're going to call me out on it, I'm going to call you out on it as well.
Yeah, this is a three beer night.
All right, go off script then.
Go off script.
Go early signing period.
So
why don't we go ahead and talk about ketchup then? If we're just going to throw the script out. Apparently, script doesn't matter anymore.
It normally doesn't.
That's We're going back to the top. Hey, guys, new music poll.
Welcome to BB and Chalk Talk. I am not Max Godby.
Oh, wow.
But we do have some advertising opportunities available specifically for the bowl game. What bowl game, you ask? The VRB Citrus Bowl. that the football team, who's getting ready to go through early signing period on Wednesday, is playing in. Hmm. So, yes, we do have some unique opportunities. We have been granted credentials. We're going to be down there during the week attending all the festivities. So if there is a company out there that you might run, you might work for, you might know of one that would like to be our title sponsor for our bowl coverage, give us a shout. info@bbnchalktalk.com. We'll be glad to reach out and get you all the information that you need on that. But the coverage is going to start soon, so we need to get moving on it. So if you got an interest, let us know, and we'll be happy to fill you in on all the fun stuff we've got going on in regards to the VRBO Citrus Bowl from sunny Orlando, Florida. Hmm. What a way to break in the new year. Hmm. Scriptless. Just going to go crazy down there. Not going to be any scripts. I'm just going to go.
Just don't even type out questions.
Just going to do whatever. But we need somebody to sponsor me doing whatever.
Yeah. If you want to take a chance.
Here's one of the things that we'll add to the package. You got a question you want to ask? Let me know. I'll ask it.
You write the script.
You can write the script. And then you can decide if you want me to go off of it or on it. Yeah. Whatever you want. Yep.
Bourbon went down the wrong pipe. Oh, gosh. That's so funny. Oh, gosh.
See, so yeah, I wasn't planning on reading the hard script, the outline for the overall advertising.
You got to start putting attachments in this so that he knows what you're doing.
Well, he won't read those either.
Yeah, that's true.
So the early signing period.
Yes.
Wednesday.
I hate it.
You hate it? Yeah,
I hate it.
Big surprise.
Because this is the reason why. And it's the reason why I hate recruiting. It's the reason why I hate official visits. It's the reason why I hate anything involving recruiting. Because we brought in the early signing period. That way it made kids that verbally committed to sign early. And now the verbal commitments have gotten 50,000 times worse, to where kids like do major flips twice now. And people lose their minds even more. And as soon as they said, well, maybe I want to do it in February. I always wanted to do it in February. Absolutely lose their minds.
Yeah, but how many more times would they flip then if they didn't have an early signing period?
It seems like it's a whole lot more now, Matt. It seems like a whole lot more now.
I'm just saying they're flipping twice before the early signing. Just think about how that's
I don't think we should recruit any kids. Because, I mean, all these kids change their mind and change their allegiance. I mean, they're not trustworthy kids.
You should pitch that to the coaches. Hey, guys, don't worry about recruiting at all. Just let them come to you and just figure it out later. Okay.
Exactly. Don't say you're associated with the show when you do it.
Yeah. Here, I got an idea. Hear me out.
Grippo's under the bus. Whoever else you want to do, don't. Please. I kind of like what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
I'm getting comfortable with this. Don't know. Please, no.
I don't mind it. I think it's like, I guess for certain kids, like, and I, you know, obviously I wasn't like a player who was choosing between 20 different schools that I was made. It was a huge deal. Like, pretty much everybody knew where I was going to go. But once I made my decision, then back when I played, it was like, if I could have signed early, I would have gotten it over with and continue on and just go do your thing and figure it out later. Like, there's a lot of kids out there that this helps the coaches get a lot of those players that are, you know, the fully committed players that they don't have to worry about. So they can put them on the back burner for a minute and really focus all of their effort on the next group of kids that they need to get here for February. And they don't need to spend as much time on here in the early signing period. And it gives those kids a chance to help them do some recruiting as well by saying, hey, I've already committed to this school. Come join me. I'm not going to switch on you. I'm here. Come play with me, sort of thing. So,
yeah. And here's the thing. I mean, look at like Kentucky last year. I think all but two spots they wrapped up in their early signing period.
Yeah.
This lets the coaching staff then go focus on the next year's class. So right. That January to February, that month where they would be going out trying to fill their, you know, making sure they get the recruits and everything down, they can get a month head start on the next year.
Yeah.
Honestly, you know what I would like to see? I would like it to be a rule that you cannot verbally commit. The only thing you can say prior to signing day is, I'm either going to sign early or I'm going to sign in the signing class.
Yeah.
And then talk about the offers that you've gotten.
There'd be mayhem on that day.
I know. Wouldn't that be fun? That's what I'm talking about. That's one of the reasons why. Yeah. It would stop all this crap that goes on, talking trash to these kids whenever they flip back and forth or whenever they decide to – they're committed, but they decide they want to sign with their school. They're doing a Formula One in February, so they don't want to sign early. Oh, well, what? Now you don't want to go here?
Yeah.
It would stop all of that. It would add a little bit of drama to it. Let's say, as I said, well, maybe you can narrow it down to five. Okay.
That won't
narrow it down to five.
It's not going to happen, though.
It won't, but that'd be cool.
Eventually, one of them's going to go ahead and say, they're going to get pressed to say, oh, yeah, it's definitely going to be Kentucky or it's definitely going to be Nebraska. And then they'll change their mind again. We keep forgetting these are 16, 17, 18-year-old kids that don't have fully developed brains. They're not going to fault. They just don't process the way that grown adults do.
Yep. Hence why we on this show don't get into a lot of detail about these kids until they've signed. And we'll talk more about them on Thursday after the Wednesday signing period and kind of go into detail about what we've seen, because you never know. Even with all the commitments and people saying, I'm signing on Wednesday, you never know.
There's always going to be some surprises. I mean, that's why we'll be there at the signing press conference. I don't know what they're calling it. It's not like a draft party. I don't know. But they are having a get-together on Wednesday where Coach Stoops will announce everybody as they've been signed and talk a little bit about it. Because at that point, once they sign that paperwork and it gets sent to the school, Coach can talk about all he wants about them.
Yep.
Up until now, he's got to be real vague and stuff about him. So last year, we landed a big, huge JUCO by the name of Touchdown Terry.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I think we've got a D lineman and a wide receiver maybe coming in that mm-hmm. we're hearing about.
Correct. Yeah.
So we'll see, but JUCOs always help coming in.
I think, in my opinion, JUCOs are huge and are key when they're not the best. I don't want to say the best, but they're not all you're relying on. If you're only relying on JUCOs or on a specific JUCO or five JUCOs, if that's all you're recruiting, then that's not where you want to be. But if you've got a great class of freshmen coming in and then you can supplement that with a couple JUCOs that are big time, that always helps because you just get that immediate experience in a new group of guys. So I love that when we can grab a couple of those.
Yeah, and it's good to backfill too when you lose somebody who wants to transfer.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reason, they want more playing time, they want a better opportunity for them. You know, God bless them, move. You know, Godspeed, you go on. But that gives you another scholarship. You can go after that JUCO and add somebody with experience that I think – the biggest thing for them is not only just that they've been playing at a different level than high school.
Right.
They've been in a college strength and conditioning program. So they put on some weight, they put on some muscle. So you're not starting off raw with them. They can come in and be an immediate impact. Hello, Mr. Wilson. So I like JUCO, but I agree with you, Matt. You can't base your whole philosophy on what you're going to get in, which from what I'm hearing, Louisville might do.
Yeah.
But that's just because they don't have anything.
Yeah. That's right. That's their only option. And then the great thing about JUCOs as well, it's not even just the experience. It's just the way their body's already developed.
Yeah.
I mean, at that point, they're already 21, 22 years old. That's a huge difference between 21, 22 versus 18.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be that the 18-year-old has been playing the position since he was five. Yep. It doesn't matter. At that point, just the body itself is going to be much more developed, much more aggressive, the whole nine yards. And that's just – there's more – to me, when you're able to bring in a JUCO, especially in a position that you've got depth, but you don't have really someone who can really stand up to be the starter, that's a great position to get a JUCO in.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Hey, before we move on, kind of a flashback to – our conversation on Sunday about that Jeff from Louisville, the text that Jeff from Louisville sent us on the WVOK text line. Mm-hmm. Now, what about the players that are currently, because those scholarships are renewed every year. Are those players currently on scholarship on roster? Can he drop them? Like he's dropping recruits?
He can't – well, no, not anymore. That's a new rule that the – that's a new rule that the Power Five made, and that happened back in 2014. Your scholarship is good for 4 years now.
Really?
They cannot drop you for athletic reasons. It has to be for behavioral or academic. But that was a rule that was made my senior year.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
No, I think it's smart.
Nope.
Why? Why is it not?
Then my argument then would be, why can he call these recruits that have verbally committed? Because if they've signed a verbal commitment paperwork.
There is no verbal commitment paperwork.
There's not?
No. You just say, I'm verbally committing. That's why it's called a verbal.
I think it's dumb because what if you get a kid that does everything right except wants to show up and like to actually give effort for practice or give effort during games, but he does everything else right. He shows up to every meeting. He shows up and lives by every standard that you have. He shows up to every class and just is there to get a free education, but he's just kind of, and you could have someone that actually wants to put effort forward on the field. He's locked into a 4-year scholarship then and doesn't have to do anything on the field, but he can get away with get a free education.
That's the coach's fault. That's the coach's fault. He should have known.
How can you know that?
So the kids just start slacking off.
They can't even think for themselves.
Yeah.
No, but when it comes to just laziness, if a kid says just not going to practice, so you weren't able to decipher that during.
I don't think it's laziness. It's just a decision. What if he's just like, yeah, I don't really want to play football. I'm just going to try to get my way free here, and then I'm just going to figure out life later. I'm just saying. But
that's the thing. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen.
But it could. And when you have it on a year-by-year scholarship basis, you get rid of that. Then you can be like, yeah, dude.
But who does that, though? Like, who – what football player, Matt, in the past 5 years, that in the 5 years that we played there, showed up and literally just thought – and think, remember, the teammates we had and went, ha-ha, I'm in. Yeah.
No one, because we were on a year-to-year scholarship. That's what I'm saying.
What about the U of L
did dirty was a mid-year enrollee. So, like, he's having to scramble to decide, do I go somewhere and start my college career, or do I have to scramble and go back to my high school and say, wait, I don't want to graduate at the break. I've got to get a semester's schedule set up now to finish high school because I have no idea where I'm going yet.
I'm not understanding what you're trying to say. Are you talking about if they pulled the scholarship?
Yeah. I mean, what
for the commitment?
Yeah, if you can't – but at that point, that kid's got to be committed. He's weeks away from enrolling at that university.
Mm-hmm.
But then all of a sudden, the coach is going to call and say no. Why can't he say no to the players that are on staff? They're on the roster.
No, I don't agree with that. You're taking me – that's saying, like, I agree with these kids getting cut scholarships when they already committed. I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's fair at all. I think that is extremely dirty and selfish to do. Now, it happens everywhere. It happens everywhere. But to pull a 17, 18-year-old scholarship because he doesn't fit into your system and you didn't recruit him, what kind of freaking scumbag are you? You're screwing up kids' lives at this point. It's the exact same thing. If we're preaching to these kids, if we're preaching to the kids, and again, if you're saying they're student athletes, if you're going to say that, if we're going to stick with this argument that they're not paid, that college football for them is not a business. It is academics and an extracurricular activity. If you're going to say that, then they have to have the protection of their scholarship. If you're not going to compensate them and then have the risk of their pulling their scholarship every year, then that does not work. That does not comply, and that doesn't fall under the standard of what the NCAA has made. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's the code that they made. So to pull a kid's scholarship because he doesn't fit into your system because you don't know how to recruit and recruit guys that are good enough to be in your program just because you can't look through the facade of a kid that's going to, as soon as he comes in, goes, I'm going to just squat now. That's your own fault as a recruiter that you didn't see the warning signs and be able to have data points. No, I 100% thoroughly disagree with you all. Now, Matt, with you, though, if you do believe that student athletes should get paid, which you do, then, yeah, you should be able to cut their scholarship. You should be able to get fired. If you're getting paid, you should be allowed to be fired. If you're being interviewed somewhere, you have the right as the employer to discontinue that interview once new management comes in. I'm completely on board with you all if that's the case. But since that's not the case, that student athletes do not get any protection, they don't get compensation, and they're held to this double standard of being a student athlete but still have to make money for the university, then I think the least you could do is to protect their scholarship. 4 years guaranteed. You were brought there to play football. In exchange, you get a four-year degree. That's what you were promised. That's the contract that you sign. The national letter of intent. That is your contract.
Yeah, but it's broken from the player side. That's a double standard. A player can leave anytime they want to.
A coach can leave anytime they want to.
Yeah. If a player can leave the school, why can't the school say see you later to a kid? Just saying.
But that's such a minority, though.
But it happens.
That's a minority, Matt.
Yeah. And in all honesty, how many of the years
there you froze
scholarships were not getting renewed because of that purpose? I froze.
Yeah, you froze.
Did I freeze? Yeah. I was saying, with how many of those year-by-year scholarships were actually not renewed because of those purposes? I'm pretty sure most scholarships were just renewed every year for pretty much every kid. So it's not like that happened all the time to where you needed to make it a four-year commitment.
Oh, no, Matt. Matt, no. Man, maybe it was just because I went from one transition. I'm not going to get into that. But just from firsthand, no, the whole just letting 4 years go 4 years, no, I 100% disagree with you on that. I don't know what we'll discuss more off record on that one.
All right.
But I am adamantly, I don't believe you're accurate on that one.
Okay. Yeah. We'll talk.
But no, all that to say, my saying is I'm sick and tired of the double standard of just players getting crapped on it from student athlete standpoint. And if you're just going to call them student athletes, I want them to have every protection that they have. That's just me. But I want to talk about something else that gets me even more riled up. Dads in these stupid recruiting photos. You talk about people who don't have developed brains. Oh, my gosh.
Should that not be a red flag to the coach if dad wants to get in the photo? Well, not just get in the photo. If dad wants to get in uniform with the kid in the photo. I'm all for getting in the photo with the kid. Hey, here I am with my boy in the uniform. Not he's in the home, I'm in the away, throwback alternative jersey too.
I think it's hilarious.
Oh, it's funny.
I'm so for it. I think it's so funny.
I don't think it's funny. I don't think it's funny. I think it's sad. I think it's pathetic.
Oh, I love it.
And a part of me just thinks it's extremely selfish also. I know I'm just Mr. Stick in the Mud at this point, but I think it's absolutely pathetic. I think it's selfish. I think it really is selfish. That's your kid's moment. He's the one that's on the visit, not you. And you're going to steal his moment by, oh, let me try a jersey on and flex.
When did, okay, first of all, and the recruiting has changed so much since back in my day, back 103 years ago. When I was being recruited with Adam Vinatieri, when did the whole getting to put on the uniform and stuff
happen? That happened like 2-3 years ago.
Like, how is that even legit? I mean, almost you're getting into sports marketing at that point. You know, who can make the hottest jersey? Who can make?
Yeah.
I mean, that's I have issues with that. It's just not right.
I show my dad the picture of the Florida Gators dad with Dan Mullen and his son.
First of all, they need to get him a large uniform. That medium that they threw on him was not working.
No. No, not at all. Jeff Godby about had a freaking aneurysm over it.
Oh, I bet he would have.
Oh, my gosh. And I remember it's so out of all the men in my entire life that I've gotten to know over the years, my dad is single-handedly, I mean, obviously, I respect him more than any other human being on this planet. And I take a lot of things that he says, just the way his brain works, he's so right. He's so left brain. I'm right brain. I take a lot of things that he says. I really take it to heart because he really meditates and thinks on it. And I remember there was a player on our team, and the dad was very loud and, as my boss would say, extra. Just very extra.
Is this high school or college?
College. Okay. Don't worry, you're fine.
Jeff and I get along. I was trying to figure out who it was, if it was in high school.
It's probably a high school. There's probably a couple of high school dads. Dad's got a list. Dad's got a list.
I bet Jeff does.
And he got so mad over this. And not mad of the player, but he was so mad at the dad. And, like, it ruined the evening for him. Like, we went out to dinner after the game, and he was not talking. And so this was said off record. It was something that my mother told me about that he said in the car, and she finally just asked, said, "What's wrong?" He says, "I feel so bad for so-and-so because of their dad," and said, "That's their moment. As a father, you raise your kids up so they can have a life of their own. And when you get to that point, their biggest moment in their lives, you let them live it on their own. You don't try to push your way in there and wedge your way in there." And he has wedged his way in there, and he has done nothing but tried to share but he's tried to take part of the moment from him. And he says, "I have zero respect for men that do that." It's like, dang. So, yeah. So basically take that wasn't in a uniform.
Right.
And that thought process, and now take it to now a dad dressing up in a uniform next to his son. The old fat, I mean, the cliche term of Jeff Godby, oh gosh, was amplified by no, like, beyond measure after seeing those pictures.
And as you're saying that, I'm glad he wasn't talking about high school, because I had like 15, 20 dads went through my head.
Let me ask you this. Lyle, as a father, did you think at all it was appropriate when G2, if he tried on uniforms or did anything like that, that you were to take measure in his moment or try to steal that moment away from him?
That could also not just be the dad in me, but the coach in me. Because, you know, the philosophy that I was brought up under coaching, under Dryden and them, take all the blame, take none of the glory. Mm-hmm. That's all my players, you know, for my players to get. So it's kind of the same thinking with him. That's you're right. That's his moment. You know, when he goes and he does. And as a dad, and you guys will learn about this later on in life, it's kind of that moment where you see the kid grow up too, when they're mm-hmm. taking that next step. And watching them develop and stuff. So I would not want to be that hands-on with that. You know, I want him to step up and take ownership and leadership for what he's worked hard for and done. So, no, that's why I look at these pictures and I'm like, what the hell? You know what I want to see? I want to see the university's reaction when the dad goes, "Hey, give me a pair of them pants and that jersey over there. Let me try that on." Like, I want to see the different looks on the faces of the coaches and the administration stuff where they're like, "Is he serious? No, don't let him do this." "Wait, he's serious. He grabbed the jersey. Look, he's putting the jersey on. Don't give him pants. Hey, he found the pants. He's putting the pants on too." "Well, don't take his picture." "Good God, he's in the photo with the son." No, stop. Please stop. Everybody.
Don't turn this into a thing.
No.
Oh, it's already a thing.
No, stop.
I've already seen at least five other dads that have been in their kid. Penn State, Missouri. I've seen dads in jerseys. And here's what I'm going to say. Yes, if that was the case and how it went down, I 100% agree with you guys. But I also know kids these days and how they're always trying to start the next thing. I could very well see that kid having all the pictures taken already and been like, Dad, why don't you try putting some of this stuff on and getting this picture with me? And having his dad come join him. I don't know the backstory behind it, but it'd be hilarious if that was and he started something like this. But if what happened, the situation happened where the dad was trying to get in on his son's moment, then yes, I agree with you guys. I just think it's so funny because all these dads are starting to pop up everywhere. The Penn State one's pretty good too because there's like four kids and a dad that are all standing in this picture, and it's just awesome. So I've at this point, I know it's got to be like a, hey, Dad, come get in this picture so we can go viral too sort of thing, which I love. But, yeah, I don't know.
Let's turn the internet off. Let's turn the internet off for a day.
So, well, Matt, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this. If you were being recruited right now and you got your picture made and all your equipment, would you look to your dad and say, Dad, get in this picture with me? Would that cross your mind?
It wouldn't cross my mind, but if there were like to do it first, but if there were other pictures out there right now, I might say, Dad, get in this.
Okay. That's just, okay. That's because you're a victim to fads.
That's true. I'm like the biggest fad person there is for sure.
Just, I blame the internet.
I blame the internet for a lot of things.
I love it.
Hey, Max, follow up to your, you are right. I did look up, I'm on informedathlete.com. And that was a rule that was voted in 2015, I think it said. Yeah, 2015. But it is only enforced by the Power Five.
Power Five, yes.
Yeah. It is only the 65 universities that make up, well, the Power Five plus Notre Dame. Only those 65, the other Division One schools and conferences can choose to follow the rule but are not required to do so.
Which is BS because Notre Dame shouldn't be in the Power Five. And they shouldn't be in the playoff. Well, they shouldn't be in the playoff because they didn't play in a conference championship. And since that's weighted into it. And how in the world did Brian Kelly win Coach of the Year?
Because he's Coach of the Irish and they're in the playoff.
Because they're the best
team. He didn't do anything.
They coach a team.
They're going to win the national championship.
They are not going to win the national championship. I really hope. Remember the last time Brian Kelly got – does anyone else remember the last time Brian Kelly – won Coach of the Year?
When he was the Eagles?
No. He got destroyed by Alabama.
He got destroyed. Destroyed. Wrecked. Annihilated. Torqued. Whatever you want to call it. That's what happened to Bama, freaking Notre Dame, and Monte Teo. So bad that Monte Teo's girlfriend disappeared.
Did you say torqued or twerked?
Torqued.
Torqued. Okay. Just clarifying. I just want to make sure.
Not twerked.
Same difference.
They got twerked by Alabama.
Right, they did. They got twerked by Bama also. Insert a word. Insert any verb, and that's what happened to them. So now I'm almost hoping that Clemson falls asleep, Notre Dame somehow slips in, and then Bama beats them 62 to nothing.
Hmm.
And then it goes from Coach of the Year to how do we get rid of Brian Kelly?
And if they win, what do you do?
I will drink.
Celebration.
I will drink.
Will it be Irish whiskey?
No. I will still stick to my bourbon.
I got a question.
Yep.
What?
Now, we've had the fry debate on here before about who has the best fries. Remember we talked about that? Was it the steak cut? Was it the thin cut, the shoestring?
That's like back in the day.
We talk about food a lot. We talk about food a lot, but I remember us having that conversation. Who had the best fries? Well, I was doing some food blog reading. Because I like to be up on my culinary conversation.
Sure.
One of the debates going on that was pretty hot and heated going back and forth is whenever you have fries, do you put the ketchup on the fries or do you keep it on the side and dip the fries in the ketchup?
The side.
I'm situational.
What?
Because I don't discriminate.
I knew this was coming.
So for me, it's about space on my plate. I'm not going to waste space on my plate with side ketchup if I have more food that I would rather put there and I can just put the ketchup on top. To me, it makes no difference. If I just had fries and ketchup, I would say yes on the side. But if it's going to mean adding more food to my plate, then I will go on top.
Well, that's when you just say the appetizer plate from earlier.
Well, if the options are there, absolutely. This is all situational, like I'm saying. There's plenty of things that go into this decision. But if push comes to shove, I will put ketchup on top of my fries. I don't prefer it, but I will.
It's not a never, like I'll never do it. But, I mean, I'm going to find ways to which I don't have to do it. Because at that time, I feel like there's a time restraint. And I've got time working against me because the fries are going to get soggy.
Well, the other thing is if I'm in a hurry and I need to eat quick, I might go on top because then I can just use a fork and just scarf them down real quick and the ketchup's already there and I don't have to waste time dipping.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. All situational. But to answer the question, I prefer on the side.
Let's take this a little bit deeper.
Can you dip in
something other than ketchup? Ranch?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Here's a debate topic then in itself. What's the best dipping with fries? Because I would venture to say honey mustard. I like honey mustard more than I like ketchup dipping fries in.
The best is Trevino got me in on this.
What, cinnamon rolls?
No.
Mayonnaise?
Dip my ketchup and chili and cinnamon rolls?
Don't knock it till you try it.
Frosties.
Well, Frosties are good, yeah. But Trevino used to take ranch. And then take the top off the Frank's Red Hot Sauce and douse it. So basically, it was spicy ranch and hot sauce. Basically, that's what it turned into. And it was fantastic. I think we finally got to the point where we commercialized with it and just bought a giant tub. Like just a standard tub. That way we could spoon it out. I don't know how healthy it was, but we were kind of running a bootleg restaurant out of that blue house.
That's great. Sodium level on that dipping sauce that you created was off the charts.
Yep.
No wonder I was always so thirsty.
Bloated. Yes.
That's great.
That's why.
Love it.
Yeah, I mean, there's times when I don't mind ranch dressing on the side. We used to do that all the time. The group of guys I used to run around with before I was married, we met every Friday was a regular meeting. It wasn't even set up. You just knew to be at 8 o'clock at Hooters on Dutchman's. And their fries, their curly fries were great with ranch dressing.
I love good curly fry.
Good curly fry with ranch dressing.
If I'm choosing any of my fried potatoes, though, it's tater tots all day, every day. Over fries,
especially now the way they load them up and make all the different stuff with them. And
if you go to Roosters and get the dumpster tots,
yeah. Oh yeah, there's a Roosters right by my house. It's dangerous.
Love that.
Next time everybody's in Louisville, when you go to the Goat, they've got
four
or five different styles of loaded tots.
Wait, how many different styles?
They've got like four or five different ones of loaded tots.
That's a lot of different kinds of loaded tots. Yeah.
They do like a braised pork one. They do like a barbecue one. They do a Mexican one. They do all kinds of, yeah.
Wow.
We should do that.
I'm in.
They have beverages.
Sold.
They have beverages?
They have beverages. They have live music. We can make an evening of it. We can bring the spouses. That way we won't get in trouble.
There we go. Could that be our Christmas party? Could that be our Christmas party outing?
Yep. There's a Christmas party.
Yeah. Expensive.
Expensive to what, though?
Okay, let me read that advertising plug again, then.
If you would like to sponsor our Christmas party.
Title sponsorship opportunity for Christmas parties.
Hey, G&J, what, you want to do the Christmas party as well?
Any Christmas party. Then we have a New Year's party. Then we have a Valentine's party. Then we have a St. Patrick's Day party.
Yeah.
Derby party.
Easter party, Good Friday party, Oaks party, Derby party, opening of the Keeneland party.
I'm loving this theme.
June, what's in June? Summer party.
Yeah, just summer. Fourth of July. August party, my birthday party.
Oh, a birthday party.
Yeah. Then Labor Day.
Oh, Memorial Day back in May. We forgot about Memorial
Day. Oh, yeah, Memorial Day.
Bastille
when
Day.
Max goes on vacation, right? Max is gone party.
We love when Max is gone.
Yes. Max out of vacation time party.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That's not going to happen, so let's think of something else.
Halloween party. Hmm. Pre-Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving.
So, yeah. We'll make a list.
Perfect.
Rivalry week party.
Rivalry week.
Rivalry week.
Well, we have that 3 times a year because you've got it with football, you got it with basketball, you got it with baseball, softball, swimming, I'm sure.
So let's just make it safe. Let's have 7 Rivalry week parties.
Rivalry week.
What are we up to, about $3,000?
Yeah.
$3,000.
For parties. That's if somebody doesn't drink.
Yeah, right. Yikes.
All righty. So I guess I was kind of figuring that food debate would go the way it went.
That
I knew Smitty would have like, it depends. Because I thought the same thing. Well, you know, if I don't have any place to put it, I'll put it on my fries because I don't want to pass up the ketchup.
Right. I'm not going to not have ketchup.
Right. There's a very few fries that I'll eat without ketchup.
Right. Bingo.
Most of them have to have ketchup.
Correct.
Well, for Matt Smith and Greg Lyle, my name is Max Cobby. You've been listening to BB and Chalk Talk presented by G&J Pepsi Cola Bottling. Have a great afternoon and go Cats.